Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
As a cardiologist and a chef, Dr. Michael Fenster has combined his culinary talents with cutting-edge medical expertise and insight. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up into one tasty treat? I know that you are. And I know you know. That means it's time once again for Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Real Salt. Hey, Nation, if you are as passionate about real, authentic, wholesome ingredients as I am, we want to make sure that we use that in our spices and seasonings as well. Real salt comes from an ancient evaporated ocean from a time when the world was much purer and much more innocent than it is now, full of all that great variety of natural minerals that we find in the highest quality sea salts with none of the risk of any contaminants. So make sure when you're filling your cupboard with this proper staples and seasonings that you use Real Salt. Ask for it at your local grocers, or better yet, go over to realsalt.com now. Put in Dr. Mike, get yourself an extra discount courtesy of us. And speaking of staples, we are talking about the staple of life today with Dr. John Dulyard. He is a globally recognized leader in the field of natural health, Ayurvedic medicine, sports medicine. He's the creator of lifespa.com, a leading Ayurvedic health and wellness resource on the web, over 4.5 million views on YouTube. He combines ancient wisdom with modern science. Dr. John was a former director of player development for the New Jersey Jets. That's the NBA team. He's the author of 7 books. We want to talk to him about his latest one because, folks, I've read it. You've got to get your hands on a copy of this called Eat Wheat. Yes, you heard that right. It's Eat Wheat. Doctor, welcome back to the program. Tell me, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, I think as you probably have experienced the same as I have, you know, years ago I was in practice 30 years ago, and people had digestive problems, and the first thing you tell them is, hey, get off of wheat and dairy. They feel better for a little while. 3-4 months later, they come back, problems are back. You get them off of, you know, meat and grains and other meat, beans, hard to digest foods, and 3 months later, they're back with another problem. Then they become a vegetarian, a vegan, a raw foodist, and they keep going down the road of changing their diet, never really fixing the problem. And what happens is that we have, you know, here we go again. They told us cholesterol was bad in 1960, and they completely changed our diet. We're digging out of an epidemic of diabetes and obesity and depression. And now we have a $16 billion gluten-free industry telling us that gluten and all grains are bad. And the science, volumes of science, doesn't actually support that. And I want to make sure that we don't do what we do so good in America, which is just treat the symptoms and take the food out of your digestion, but really fix the real reason why people, and I get it, they do feel bad when they eat wheat, but let's fix the problem so you can go about and eat anything, because as we're going to talk about, it's really even more important for us to be able to digest hard to digest stuff than whether it's about wheat or not.
Well, yeah, when you said the science, I was thinking to myself, wait, what science? Because I just haven't, like you, I just really haven't seen the data to support. And this just boggles the mind. Did you say $16 billion with a B dollars?
That's exactly right.
Oh, my goodness. Now I'm going to throw my MBA hat on, and I'm going to tell you, boy, that gets my attention, because, you know, if I can sell you a loaf of bread and then I can sell you 4 and charge more for it, loaves of gluten-free alternative, I've just taken up a whole shelf space and enriched my wallet pretty good. So we've got a whole $16 billion, yes, you heard that right, folks, with a B, dollar industry that's really not based on any kind of science. That just boggles the mind. How did we get here?
Well, I think, you know, I think there's 3 reasons why we can't digest hard-to-digest foods again. One is the processed foods that they replaced the cholesterol with in 1960, which are basically indigestible fats that have been bleached and deodorized that congest our liver and our gallbladders, which are the kingpins of digestion. And if they're congested, we've got to have real problems. 2, the pesticides and the environmental toxins, which are 400 billion pounds of toxic chemicals in the environment every single year dumped in the American environment, they're specifically shown to kill the microbes in your mouth, esophagus, stomach, and small intestine that are specifically geared to digesting the hard-to-digest components of wheat. You put all that together, we have a great digestive breakdown, and as a result of that, we stop eating hard-to-digest foods. But here's the real problem with that. Number one, if you can't digest well, you can't detoxify well. And we have 400 billion pounds of toxic chemicals to get rid of. There's mercury from the coal mine electrical plants on every organic vegetable. And if you can't digest well, you can't detoxify that. So where does it go? Into your brain, into your fat, and creates real problems. And here's the thing, Dr. Mike, that I think I was mind-boggled when I read this. But studies show that the wheat and the hard to digest anti-nutrients on grains actually stimulate the immune system. Studies show that people who eat a gluten-free diet have four times as much mercury in their blood as people who eat wheat. People who eat a gluten-free diet have significantly more bad bacteria and significantly less good bacteria in their guts than the people who actually eat wheat. And people who eat gluten-free have significantly less killer T cells, a measure for immune strength, than people who eat wheat. The studies are suggesting that these hard-to-digest foods, which we've been eating for not 10,000, that's not correct. They found wheat in gluten in the teeth of ancient humans 4 million years ago throughout Africa, suggesting we've been eating these grains for 4 million years. And we created a whole evolutionary process to be able to handle grains. It's not true that we didn't eat grains in the Paleolithic period. We definitely did, and there's really good science to back that up, and way beyond that, into the millions of years ago. So when you take the wheat out of our diet, we've been eating it for 4 million years, and we have microbes and enzymes specifically designed to make enzymes to break it down, and then you have pesticides and preservatives that kill those microbes and knock out your digestive system, you've got real problems. And those hard-to-digest components of these grains and nuts and seeds and things, they stimulate, irritate the intestinal tract to trigger your immune response. And if you take them out, the science is showing that our immune system gets compromised. And so here we go again, right? Down that crazy road we did with cholesterol 60 years ago, created a whole host of problems. And now, you know, the grain brain world is not after just wheat. They want all grains. And when you take all that out of the diet, all the hard-to-digest stuff out, are we sterilizing our environment and our food to the point where our immune system just can't do their thing anymore? And that's the real risk. We're just treating the symptoms without realizing we might be causing a real problem down the road.
Well, I think you really hit on something that certainly something I try to convey when I'm out talking about food and health, and that is the fact that we've got this entire community of gastrointestinal minions, these gut microbiomes. And as you point out, this is something that has co-evolved with us throughout the genesis of the human species. This, you know, gut microbiome, this specific collection has co-evolved with us, and it's co-evolved with us to co-metabolize with us. And we're just finding out that the gut microbiome, as you pointed out, is, you know, it's essentially, and this is kind of a weird thing for people to kind of wrap their heads around, but it's essentially another organ system. Right. Made up of foreign bacteria, but, you know, it affects our immune system. You know, it's responsible for the secretion of over 50 different neurotransmitters. It helps tell us, actually, as you point out, you know, we eat something, these bacteria break it down, they convert it to short chain fatty acids in the intestine, and that starts to signal us, hey, you know what, you've had enough to eat. And we talk about, you hit on obesity, diabetes, these, you know, inflammatory diseases. Well, holy cow, you know, it seems that these natural, authentic, real foods that that we evolved with, we kind of need to get back to that. So how do we do that? Are there certain kinds of wheat that we should avoid? Is all wheat good? How do we approach this?
Well, there's no doubt that most of the wheat that does cause the problem is processed wheat. Processed wheat has a significantly higher glycemic index than whole wheat does. Whole wheat has a low glycemic index, contrary to what people actually, you know, have been told. You know, processed wheat and processed foods, for example, increase the risk of abdominal fat, obesity, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, and high cholesterol by 141%. And in one study, it showed that people who actually eat whole foods, including whole wheat, reduce their risk of all those factors, obesity, belly fat, high blood pressure, high blood sugar. They reduce that risk by 38% eating wheat. There's volumes of studies that show that whole wheat will actually help you lose weight, actually increase your cognitive function, reduce the risk of Alzheimer's, significantly reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes. So when these books come out and saying that wheat is a poison, what they're saying is they're finding their studies to say that sugar is a poison, and because processed food has a high glycemic index, which all processed foods do, then those foods act as sugar in the body, and they will cause a sugar belly, not a wheat belly, but a sugar belly. And they will cause brain-related concerns because sugar has been shown to increase the risk of Alzheimer's. But this is a misappropriation of the real science. You can't just say just because processed wheat has a high glycemic index that therefore does stuff that sugar does, when whole wheat does the exact opposite. So when you buy bread, you want to look at the ingredients and say, if it says wheat, organic wheat, salt, water, and a starter, then that bread probably took 2 or 3 days to bake. If you look at a loaf of bread in the grocery store that has a bunch of ingredients, including cooked oils that keep the bread squishy for a month, that stuff will last on the shelf for a month, and it is indigestible, and it has a bunch of ingredients you've never heard of. And you got to stop eating that stuff because the science shows that is what causes the obesity, diabetes, depression, and also it directly breaks down our digestive strength. And our digestive strength is our ability to detoxify. And in this crazy toxic world, we need that. We can't just say, take the wheat out of my diet, I feel better, and then be bombarded with, you know, the mercury on all your organic vegetables. You can't wash it off. It's an environmental issue. So we really need, more than ever, a strong digestive system. We can't just keep, you know, chopping stuff out of our diet and treating the symptoms.
Yeah, and you point out a very important fact, which is, so when the folks are looking for their breads, the staple of life, if you will, one of the things they want to look for is whole grains right. on that packaging, because that actually has a legal connotation to it. It has a meaning. You know, and a lot of the descriptors, you know, delicious, authentic, this, that, and the other, they don't really carry, there's no sort of legal ramification for it. But so we want to definitely look for stuff that says, you know, whole grains on it. When we're baking, when we're making our breads at home, something I absolutely love to do, I think that particularly around holiday times and something there's nothing like the smell of something fresh baking. I mean, I think that just goes right to our DNA. Are there specific flours or brands or varietals? I know there's a couple that I like to use that you recommend, or something that we need to stay away from.
Well, for sure, you know, in my book Eat Wheat, we've got two really amazing sourdough bread recipes that you can look at. And what's really cool about sourdough bread is that sourdough bread, when it's fermenting, it's gobbling up all the gluten, all the hard to digest stuff in there, and it was actually, in a couple of studies, rendered the bread literally gluten-free. And then they gave that sourdough bread to people with celiac who, and I'm not suggesting people with celiac eat wheat by any means, but which is 1% of the population, but they gave that bread to people who had celiac and they had zero inflammatory reaction. So sourdough bread was a historic way people figured out a way to, you know, make the bread easier and more delicious, and also had tons of microbes. And like you said before, The gluten in bread was never meant to be digested in the stomach. And people say, oh, it's not being digested. It creates all these problems. And when it isn't digested, it does create these problems. But it's supposed to go down. Some of it's supposed to go undigested in the large intestine, where it actually gets broken down and feeds the microbes to make short-chain fatty acids, which boost immunity and regulate blood sugar and do the heavy lifting for every single thing in our body. So when you look at the way gluten is digested in the body, it's really been broken down partially in your mouth, your esophagus, stomach, small intestine, large intestine. It's sort of supposed to be fed throughout the entire thing. But if the bread and the gluten is not broken down properly because the digestive system got weaker, the molecules are too big to get into the blood and feed the body. So these big gluten molecules get uptaken. So do the fat molecules, the toxic chemicals, they get uptaken into the body's lymph system, which starts in your intestinal skin. And it can congest the lymphatic vessels. And that lymphatic system jumps out through your skin, causing skin rashes and hives. That same system drains your brain of 3 pounds of toxic plaque and chemicals every year. There's brain lymphatics, and it causes tiredness and lethargy. So when those lymphs get congested, you're going to feel all these gluteny symptoms. But that's because your digestion broke down, and these molecules are getting into your lymph, creating all kinds of problems. And all you got to really do is decongest your lymphatic system, turn your digestive system on, and start eating the bread that is healthier and way more easy to digest. So whole stone ground is the best, but whole grain wheat, organic whole grain wheat that's unbleached with not fortified with anything, is what you want to get.
Well, that's some great advice. And I love the stone ground. You know, I think it has a nice texture. It's got great flavor. And when we're stone grinding, we're not exposing the wheat to the high heat, so we're getting more of the nutrients. Again, we want to look for whole grain. And folks, we're talking with Dr. John Dooleyard and about his new book, Eat Wheat. You've got to get this. It's coming out next week, and for sure folks can pre-order it now. Is that right, doctor?
Yeah, it's available now, actually. Yeah, for sure.
You know, I've got my copy, and it was funny, we were talking about fermented foods, and my new book, Ancient Eats, which is also available now. When looking at some of the ancient cultures, obviously bread and wheat, particularly the two groups we talk about in Volume 1, the Greeks and the Vikings, typically talk about sourdough breads or fermented breads as something that's really good for older folks. So as we get a little bit older, it's I think even more important to help augment, you know, crank up, get our immune system in proper balance through the consumption of living real foods, and fermented bread, as you point out, is one of those. And I think you hit on something too, because I talk about the fact that a lot of these sourdough fermented breads are sort of technically gluten-free. And when folks see gluten-free on a label, that actually doesn't mean there's no gluten molecules in there, by the way. That's a legal thing saying, you know, I think it's less than one part per 12 million or something like that. Don't quote me on that. You can look it up. I'm sure it's on the interweb,
like
there somewhere.
12 parts per million, right? Yeah.
12 parts per million. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you, folks think, oh, you know, I'm not getting any gluten. No gluten has entered my divine temple. You know, I'm gluten-free. You're not. So if you're eating some of these things, you actually are getting some gluten. You're just getting less gluten. It's kind of like the trans fat misnomer. You know, trans fat free just is something that's there per serving.
Right.
You can, you know, if you can be getting less than, you know, if you eat a bag of chips that have been deep fried, you know, you're getting some trans fats.
Yeah, you eat more than the serving
size. Excess.
You eat more than the serving
exactly.
size, you're getting trans fats for sure.
So, what do you recommend? How, you know, folks pick up, I definitely recommend, this has got to be something that's, you know, in your health library, in your kitchen library. You want to get this book, Eat Wheat. What are the first steps, you know, folks can take? You know, one of the things I always recommend, as you pointed out, hey, get away from that processed food. It's not just, you know, the processed meat and the burger and the unripe GMO vegetables, but it's the sugar and the processed stuff in that bun. So, you know, stay away from the drive-through. Then what do they do? Because now they're hungry.
Well, you know, like you said, selecting the proper wheat. Like for example, if you're not doing well with wheat, then it makes sense, right, to take it out of your diet for a temporary period of time while you reboot your digestion. There are the grain, you know, the breads like sourdough. Spelt, for example, has 40% less phytic acid, makes it a lot easier to digest. Rye bread is super easy on the blood sugar. So different breads can be used. If you have blood sugar issues, eat rye bread. If you have, you know, really weak digestion, eat sourdough or spelt bread. They help you a little bit. Also, bread, it was seasonal. It was never meant to be eaten three times a day for every day of the year. It was harvested in the fall for winter eating. There's enzymes like amylase that digest wheat specifically that increase in the body in the fall and the winter and decrease in the spring and the summer. So we are part of the circadian rhythms of nature. We don't really think like that, but we definitely are. And there's enzymes that increase in the fall and the winter, which we have been doing that for millions of years to help us digest these hard-to-digest things. So overeating it all year long is probably a bad idea. Eating more in the fall and the winter when it's harvested now during the holidays, which is a great time of year to do it, makes more perfect sense. You know, and so then, of course, and also eating it in the middle of the day, because when your digestion is weaker, studies show that the digestion is significantly stronger in the middle of the day than it is at night. So eating a bunch of pizza at 10 o'clock at night with a bunch of ice cream, probably hard to digest for you, you know, and not going to feel great. That same meal in a relaxed way, you know, we know that when you sit down and relax and you eat your food, it increases parasympathetic activity, which turns on digestion. We eat on the run, gobble, gobble, go, go, go in your car. It activates the fight or flight system, which turns off digestion. So the old idea, sit down, relax, eat your food, eat in the middle of the day, these things do add up to being a better digestion, particularly when you're trying to repair a broken down digestive system. Those things are some starter things, and there's more we can talk about.
Well, that's really fascinating. You know, I'm a big believer. One of the things I preach is what I like to call the food experience, because so often we talk about food out of context and in a very sterile way, particularly when we get into nutrients and vitamins, things like gluten, etc. We get away from really understanding it in the context of the food experience. And you just hit on that by talking about how we approach our food, how we enjoy our food, how we relax, can actually impact our digestion and then therefore our health. Now, am I getting that connection correct?
Yeah, there's good science to show that seasonally our microbes change from season to season to season, so that we're allowed and designed to digest different things seasonally. We know that the digestive system is stronger in the middle of the day and less strong in the evening. There's really good science to support that. So, you know, other studies show that human beings have sort of lost their connection to the circadian cycles of nature, which is dangerous. And a big article in the Scientific American said that circadian medicine will be the future of medicine as we know it, suggesting that getting ourselves reconnected to the rhythm, you know, birds fly south and whales migrate, and we don't do any of that. Not that we need to migrate necessarily, but we need to recognize that our food supply should be connected to nature and the earth, and it should be organic, because there's bugs on organic food that aren't on conventional foods. And these simple, subtle things all add up. But the big thing is the old global breakdown of digestion and the bad fats that we've been eating for so many years now, like you said, the trans fats, they congest your liver and your gallbladder. And gallbladder-related issues are epidemic today as we speak, and they are directly linked to obesity, can't burn fat, you store it, but depression, fats make your mood stable, and diabetes. And as you know, blood sugar, type 2 diabetes, is a liver concern more than it is a pancreatic concern. That's where it starts. It starts in congestion of your liver. So helping your gallbladder function and decongesting that is critical with things like beets and apples and celery and turmeric. These are all we call cholagogues. They decongest your bile and your liver and your gallbladder. And that is an organ that has just taken such a beating in the last 60 years for us. And helping get that back on track. Because if you don't have any bile, you can't digest fast. But the bile is a buffer for the acid in your stomach. And if there's no bile down there, the stomach's going to go, I got a big loaf of bread up here, and I need 4 ounces of bile. And the liver goes, oh, we don't have any. We're out. And then the stomach just sort of holds on to all the acid, gives you heartburn and burns. And then the stomach finally says, I give up. I'm turning the acid production off. And therefore, now you have no acid production or minimal acid production, and then you start having issues digesting hard-to-digest things, and the logical thing to do is just take it out. But that's not the solution. That's just a symptomatic reliever.
Well, you know, unfortunately, I think so often in Western medicine, that's what we do. It's we, you know, treat symptoms. You know, the derivation of Western medicine, it's, you know, battlefield medicine. You know, you got a bullet, take it out. The leg's broken, splinted. We're just not real good at getting to the root of the problem. We just kind of put a Band-Aid on it, for lack of a better analogy. And what you're saying and what you help us do with the book Eat Wheat, again, you can order that now, folks, coming out next week. You know, get your copy, give it to somebody that you care about and care about their health, is really getting to the, and forgive the pun, but there's always one in a show, the kernel, you know, of the truth in there, and get to the heart of the problem. So I want to talk just a few more minutes about, you know, you talk about relaxing and enjoying that food experience. And one of the other things we've gotten away from is people talk about, you know, the family experience, the family meal where we sit down, we relax. And, you know, in Europe, they do a much better job, even their fast food. You know, they did an interesting study, I'm sure you know. They looked at fast food in France, and they found, you know, they still take, you know, a half hour, the French do, to like eat their fast food at a fast food place, whereas we're out in like 3 minutes. Yeah. And that whole approach, it seems, can be detrimental. Is what you're saying, there's a physiologic correlate to that action, a consequence of that action. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, there's a handful of things. First of all, we know that when people relax and eat their food, the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest nervous system, turns on. And when you're under a lot of stress, you activate the fight or flight nervous system, which turns off digestion, and that turns on. So that's an old thing. Studies also show that when people have a ritual before and around the meal, like saying grace, or it could even be like tapping your head three times, is any ritual, the study showed, actually increased digestive strength when you eat your food. It's sort of like when the body gets a little trigger to say, hey, we're going to digest our food now, and the body gets into that ritual, saying grace, or whatever it might be, sitting down and relaxing. All of it, the body becomes habituated to go, okay, now this is mealtime, get ready. Digestive enzymes start kicking in, we start to pre-digest our food. Very, very important. You know, other things, other studies show that the food, like vegetables, literally pump out more nutritional content in the middle of the day than they do in the morning or in the evening. They're part of the circadian clock too. So the vegetables pump out more nutrition in the middle of the day when our digestive system is strongest. Do you think there's a coincidence there that the,
wow,
that the foods pump out nutrition when we digest better? And these kind of, we're eating late at night, all day long, here and there. We have broken that circadian chain. And these are, of course, subtle things, but they add up. There was a study done, a crazy study. Deer eat bark in the winter, and they have microbes for digesting bark. They eat leaves in the summer, and they have microbes for digesting leaves. But if the deer were to eat bark in the summer with the wrong microbes, it would cause such a level of indigestion, it could literally kill the deer. And I was going, wait a minute. Deer die when they eat out of season? What about us? We don't even know what's in season. So I wrote a book called The Three-Season Diet, one of my earlier books, and I also put out a grocery list and a recipe list and a superfood list for every single month of the year for free for anybody at lifespa.com, where you get it just for free, just because I think it's so critically important that people know what's in season and what you can do this month and next month and next month. And we put it out every month of the year for free for folks to get reconnected to the rhythms of the food that have the right microbes, which, of course, make up 90% of us, that do the heavy lifting for every single thing. So when we lose that connection, we're in big trouble.
Well, you know, you're speaking my language, because as a chef, approaching this simply from someone who loves to eat great tasting food, I'm all about the rhythms of the season. You know, that's just when the, like you said, the food is fresh, it's real, it's authentic, you know, it's absolutely delicious. Doctor, you know, I want to thank you for being here again today. We've got to have you back on, talk more about this. You just bring such a wealth of fascinating information. Folks, we're talking with Dr. John Dooyard, his new book, Eat Wheat. Go get yourself about 10 copies, give them away to the folks that you love. Check him out at lifespa.com. I want to thank you for listening with us and with us today. Once again, until we meet again, may the only pain in your life be champagne.